6:19 on your Monday morning, the Cranes Detroit interview is brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Learn more at michiganbusiness.org. You know, back in the 80s, there was a wonderful lady by the name of Emily Gale, who had kind of her own one-woman Detroit public relations campaign. It was called Say Nice Things About Detroit.
I remember that. Yeah, remember that.
And there were bumper stickers.
That's
and Emily
right.
still listens to us out in Honolulu.
Oh, okay. She's, oh, okay.
And you'll still see her active on Twitter when she hears stuff on JR that she likes. So the question is, are people saying nice things about Detroit after this party for 775,000? We welcome in Mike Lee, editor-in-chief at Cranes Detroit Business. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Guy. How are you?
I'm great. So as your reporters have been out and about and kind of assessing the media coverage just of the city and the event, what's the conclusion?
I don't think you can conclude it's anything other than five stars. I mean, just what a weekend for Detroit. It really, really was. We covered it stem to stern. I think in the run-up to the draft, all of the hype over it, we had a hard time picturing what it was actually going to look like. And when you saw that sea of people on the first night from the aerial images, it's like, wow. That's Detroit. I think it was just a tremendous, tremendous weekend for showing off the city and what it is now. I think we locals know how Detroit has changed in the last 10 or 15 years, but I don't know how much that seeped out into the public consciousness. So, are they saying nice things about Detroit? Absolutely. They
are. So, Wall Street Journal.
Yeah. And when the biggest complaint is, it's too crowded. That's a good problem to have.
Absolutely.
Very good problem to have.
Hey, Mike, we had the draft here. Great things. I know the Grand Prix is coming up, but we're not getting back to hydroplanes. What's up with that?
Yeah, the hydroplanes obviously were a longstanding tradition on the Detroit River going back to the early part of the 20th century. They have not run in Detroit since 2019, and last week the organizers who were trying to get the races going again this year called it quits. They failed to land a title sponsor for the race. They were looking to raise about $350,000 in sponsorships and were unable to do that. Failed the past couple of years to restart the races. There was a pause of a couple of years during the pandemic, but efforts since then to restart them have just not succeeded. They say they're going to try again for 2025. They hope to have, they think the sponsors might have a little more interest. They think one of them said they've been told that some of the spending there was diverted to the draft. So we'll see. You have to wonder if the hydroplanes have a viable future. It's historically financially been a difficult event to put on, because it's hard to sell tickets for. There are various ways they can do it, but financially putting on those races has always been a challenge.
Well, Doug Bernstein at Plunkett and Cooney has been one of the godfather of the races for the past 10, 15 years, and they've worked so hard. You just can't find sponsors.
That's a shame. Especially when events are so successful here in this town. So we'll have to wait.
To me, the dollar figure just didn't seem that big, that there should be somebody among the automakers or someone who would see the value in that sort of a sponsorship.
Mike, you say this hasn't gotten much attention, and I would agree. I haven't been paying attention to the bird flu, but how does that affect us here in Michigan?
Michigan has been hit pretty hard by the avian flu that's going around. Previous outbreaks have largely spared Michigan, which is a big egg producing state. This one, not so much. We have about 15 million birds, and so far in this outbreak, they've had to slaughter 6.5 million of those. So well over a third of our flock has been slaughtered to stop the spread of that disease. You're probably going to see egg shortages in Michigan. One of the largest flocks in the state in Ionia, 2.4 million birds was infected. We believe it's the poultry ranch that supplies McDonald's. Many of the eggs for its restaurants, for your Egg McMuffins. This disease is obviously not much of a threat to people. That is the eventual concern, that it could become so if the virus mutates. But it's having a big economic impact here in Michigan.
I've got a good source in McDonald's to say there's been no interruption in their McMuffin supply chain.
Good to know.
They've got their eggs. Yeah. They'll have eggs for you this morning.
they have a plan B.
Yeah, because we know that they're that good. You know, there was a lot of speculation about what would happen and whether or not we could see some real savings for homeowners and home buyers and sellers. Once these new commission reforms kicked in, do we have a clear picture now about whether or not home buyers and sellers are going to get a break?
There really hasn't been a whole lot of movement. Obviously, this legal settlement in the antitrust lawsuit with the realtors, some people think it could change the way commissions are paid in home sales. I'll tell you, we're talking to real estate experts, and they don't think it's going to be that dramatic of a shift. Buyers agents are still going to want to get paid. Would-be home buyers are not going to want to front cash up front. And there's a lot of inertia in favor of, you know, continuing the current arrangement of the 6% commission that the realtors split each way. What it would take is some innovative company or innovative approach to these that works for home buyers, works for home sellers, and works for the realtors who are trying to make a living off of this. And so far, I don't think we've seen anything that's suggesting it's going to be a dramatic and fast change.
So for the houses selling right now, it's just status quo?
Pretty much. The realtors, you know, they're still allowed to negotiate commissions. They're just not allowed to advertise them on the MLS as saying, I'll give you 3% buyer's commission. But, you know, that habit's hard to break. And I think that's still the way things are working.
Circling back to the draft, we know that there were different groups that try to assess the economic impact. Pat Anderson always does a great job. He said it was $160 million, but he based that on 225,000 unique visitors maybe doing one or more events. So based on the new accounting, you can kind of tear that up and start over. Do you know, has anybody come up with a fresh number as to what the real dollar figure might be? Especially when you consider those events that were business-oriented that happened outside the footprint.
Yeah, I have not seen a new estimate based on the real attendance. Also, I haven't seen an estimate of how many of those people came in from out of town, as opposed to being locals, which I think makes a big difference. And, you know, people who came in from out of town, did they stay for 3 days? Well, that's three hotel nights. That's a lot of money.
Well, Airbnb was doing land office business, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely, they were. Absolutely, they were. And the restaurants and the impact was region wide as well. I mean, the hotel rooms were filled out into the suburbs. So and there's marketing impact. There's future tourism spending that will come about because of how well Detroit did hosting this event.
Well, it's just astonishing how the narrative has changed. I mean, when you get two love notes from the Wall Street Journal the way we did over the course of 2 days, one of them staying the most popular story on their website for 2 days.
Yep. We're the city that can teach other cities how to get out of the doom loop. I thought that story was incredible.
It was.
Yeah. Well, Michael, it's a rosy glow, and now it's about keeping that momentum going. And we know there's a lot of smart people, both within the walls of your publication and elsewhere, that's going to be sussing that out over the next several weeks to decide what is going to be the next big thing. Thanks for being with us. Have a great week.
Thanks, Guy.
Talking about the glow, what this did for a lot of area nonprofits can't be understated. We'll talk to one of them next on JR Morning at 6:35.